the definition of ibadah, the worship, and the types of ibadah. The word ibadah, which is translated as worship, seems a very common word. Everyone knows that. But when we say the definition of ibadah, what comes to your mind? Can someone define, can anyone define ibadah or worship? Yes? Now I'm talking about general worship. General worship. Not necessarily worshipping Allah. Worshipping Allah is, obviously as a Muslim, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves our worship. But what is the meaning of actual worship or this action? Sorry? Obedience. Okay. Obedience is one part of the worship. It's a part of the worship. Say, for example, someone who worships an idol. How does he obey the idol? Pray. Praise. Praising. Praising is a type of worship. Okay, something that is expected from a slave. Okay. Any other idea? The definition of ibadah, worship. Yeah, by tongue, by limbs, doing what? No, I'm not talking about worshiping Allah. Any worship. What comes to you? Yeah, there are different types. That is after definition. So first of all, we need to define the worship. Okay. So when it comes to the definition of ibadah, you got to understand the definition of ibadah in general, and then the ibadah of Allah, worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specific. The worship to Allah, worshipping Allah, is more specific than the general worship. So first of all, we need to understand the worship or the definition of worship or the ibadah. Ibadah or worship is that you do something either out of love or out of fear of the one that is worshipped. You do something out of love or out of fear for the sake of the one who is worshipped or for the one that is worshipped with the intention of gaining some benefit in return or avoiding the harm. This is the general concept of worship. So those who worship idols, why do they worship idols? Because they believe that if they don't worship the idols, they may harm them. So this is the fear. Fear they have within their heart. And because of that fear, they do something. They may prostrate. They may do qiyam in front of the idol. They may do ruku in front of the idol. They may sacrifice something for the idol. And it can be even tree. Those who worship the sun, they do the same. Out of fear or out of love. It can happen out of love. A person loves someone or loves something, and because of that love, he does something in order to please him. The mushrikeen, those who worshipped the idols, they worship the idols because of either their love for those idols or because of the fear. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Yunus, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. They worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala those that cannot harm them, nor can they benefit them. So when someone worships someone or something, they do so with the belief that the one that is worshipped can benefit them or they can remove the harm from them. And it is done either out of love or out of fear. That is the general concept or general definition of worship. But when it comes to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is more specific. So the worship of Allah, or ibadatullah, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can define that any statement that you utter or any action that you do or any feeling that you hold within your heart in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in order to seek the nearness to Allah dhul jalal wal ikram, in accordance with the commandment of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is called ibadah. That is specific ibadah and worship to Allah. Let me repeat. Any statement that you utter, or any action that you perform, any feeling that you hold within your heart in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in order to seek nearness to Allah dhul jalal ikram, in accordance with the commandment of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we understand this worship, this definition of worship, then we can elaborate on that. First of all, we said, any statement that you utter, anything that you say, anything that you say in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has to be in accordance with the commandment of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which means what? If you say something with right intention that you want to please Allah, but it is not in accordance with the commandment of Allah or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it cannot be classed as worship. For example, you say, we are here 40-50 people together, let's start doing the dhikr of Allah, turn the lights off, start doing the dhikr of Allah, close your eyes and try to do the dhikr from your heart and start saying hu 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 hu. I say, I'm uttering something, my intention is to please Allah, to seek nearness to Allah. Would that action be classed as worship? No. Why? Because we have no evidence from the sunnah, from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not ibadah, it's not worship. Or you say something in accordance with the commandment of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but your intention is not to please Allah. Your intention is not to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is known as riya, or showing off. Then would the action be worship? Or your statement will be considered as an act of worship? No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man salla yura'i faqad ashrak, wa man sama yura'i faqad ashrak, wa man tasaddaqa yura'i faqad ashrak. A person who performs a salah, what do we do in salah? We utter the statements, the supplications, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah dhul jalal wal ikram, So we utter statements, and the salah also consists of certain actions such as qiyam, ruku, sujood, tashahud. So salah consists of both actions as well as statements and sayings. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever offers the salah and his intention is missing, his intention is not to please Allah, rather his intention is to please people, to show off, to do riya, then his salah is not an act of worship. No. His qiyam, ruku, sujood, tashahud, dua, dhikr, everything is not an act of worship. Rather, it is an act of shirk. It is not the worship of Allah. It is shirk. Whoever gives in charity in order to show off, this act is an act of shirk. Whoever observes the fast with the intention of to show off, then it is an act of shirk. It is not ibadah. Because the ibadah, opposite of the ibadah of Allah, is shirk. You commit shirk. So the first part of the definition is that you say something in order to please Allah in accordance with the commandment of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, you do something, you perform an action, you do something physically, again, in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in accordance with the commandment or the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, you hold feelings, you have feelings, and you keep those feelings for the sake of Allah, in order to please Allah, in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Feelings such as love. You love Allah. You love His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You love a Muslim. You love the house of Allah. You love the Quran. So your love towards anything in order to please Allah. You may love someone for the sake of Allah. If you love someone for the sake of Allah and in accordance with the teachings and the commandments of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is another chapter within the books of Aqeedah, al-hubbu lillah wal-bughdu fillah, loving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is a feeling. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love for Muslims. Love for Quran. Love for sacred places. All that love in order to please Allah. And it has to be in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You love Allah the way Allah has ordered you to express your love to Allah. You love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to seek nearness to Allah in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the way that you want. Rather, it has to be in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You love someone, a Muslim, for the sake of Allah in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that feeling. And it has to be again in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You love a sacred place in order to please Allah. You have that feeling in order to please Allah. But again, it has to be in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, you love Baytullah. You have to dignify the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to respect. And you hold that love as a Muslim, you hold that love for the Ka'batullah, for Baytullah within your heart. In order to express that feeling, so that you draw yourself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed his love for Baytullah, the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed, the way the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam taught. So for example, when it comes to Baytullah, we know from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did the tawaf, he alayhi salatu wasalam touched black stone, Hajrul Aswad. And on another occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not touch Hajrul Aswad directly, rather he was holding a stick in his hand and he touched that stick to black stone. On another occasion, the Prophet ﷺ just simply did istilam. Istilam means just waving towards Al-Hajr al-Aswad. When he ﷺ started his tawaf and he reached a corner before the corner where the Hajr al-Aswad is, which is known as a Ruknul Yamani, the Yemeni corner, the Prophet ﷺ just touched it. He did not kiss it. And another occasion, he did not even touch and he did not wave towards that corner. So this is the sunnah. As for the other two corners, the Prophet ﷺ never kissed them. The Prophet ﷺ never touched them. The Prophet ﷺ never waved his hand towards them. So in order to express your love for that sacred place, Baytullah, Ka'batullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the intention of drawing yourself near to Allah Dhul Jalal Karam, it has to be in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means that if you touch the cover of the Kaaba, or if you touch any part of the Kaaba other than the part that are touched by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that action would not be considered as worship. I hope it is clear. Any statement, any action, any feeling that you hold within your heart in order to draw yourself closer to Allah or in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is in accordance with the commandment of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is ibadah. If you were to understand this definition of ibadah, then it can help you to stay away not only from the acts of shirk, it will also help you to stay away from innovations, from bid'at, something that is not proven from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it is not proved by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam through his statement or through his actions. So this is the definition of ibadah. Ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope it is clear. Before we move on, do you have any question? Any question related to the definition of ibadah? Or if there is anything that is not clear within the definition of ibadah? I'm trying to remember some, if not all the faces, so that I can ask this question next week, inshallah. Yes, brother. Yes, sir. Okay. So I began with the general definition of ibadah and then specific ibadah to Allah. Okay? You say something or you do something or you have a feeling within your heart in order to please Allah, in accordance with the commandment of Allah and the commandment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is worship. Any question? Yes, brother. Ready? Showing off, yes. Yeah, the brothers are asking questions in order to avoid the showing off, and obviously the opposite of showing off is al-ikhlas, sincerity and ikhlas. How do we do that? Inshallah, we'll talk about the riya in one of the lessons, and particularly on this, inshallah. We'll talk about a bit in a bit of depth on riya, inshallah, later on. Yes. Okay, so the question is, would that be classed as ibadah or not? Yes. Yeah, that is why I gave the brothers asking question, what if the person says that I do something about which I have a kind of feeling within my heart that I'm doing something so that Allah is pleased with my action. Okay? For example, the brother gave a particular example of attending a circle of the dhikr. Okay? And this is exactly what I gave the example. So, if you attend a circle of dhikr, you feel within your heart that you are drawing yourself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may have that feeling. Okay? But does that action fit within this definition? It's not from the commandment of Allah. It's not from the commandment. It's not from the practice of Rasulullah. How many times the Prophet gathered his companion, he said, okay, let's do the dhikr together. Any evidence? No. So no matter what you feel within your heart, no matter what you feel within your heart, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. Because the worship has to be in accordance with the commandment of Allah and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it is not in accordance to that, then it is not worship. So this is the definition of the worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we go into a more depth of this definition. So as we said, the worship includes... Yes, brother. Oh, good question. Where do we get this definition of ibadah from? We don't get this definition from the hadith. Okay? The Prophet didn't define the ibadah this way. This is definition that is, you can say, relate or put together by the ulama, the scholars, based on the evidences from the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So if you were to, as I said, if you were to go into the depth of this definition, then it will make sense to you. Okay? You say something, you do something, or you have a feeling about something in order to draw yourself closer to Allah and in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what we are going to explain. When we explain, then you'd agree, inshallah, that this is the right definition. Tadabbur. Tadabbur. Just look into this definition. The brother is asking the question, tadabbur, contemplation, reflection, pondering on the ayat of the Quran, or the ayat of Allah in this universe. It is an act of worship. What do you say? No? Okay, why no? Okay, tadabbur, first of all, tadabbur is what? Contemplation, okay? It's kind of, feeling, okay? You express or you have. What is the purpose of this tadabbur? If the purpose is that you draw yourself closer to Allah, then it can be act of worship, okay? But if this is not the intention, rather a scientist goes and he does the tadabbur and he experiments certain things, but his intention is not to please Allah. Rather, he just wants to find out. His intention may be to help the humanity, okay, to improve on something. But his intention is not to draw himself closer to Allah, then this tadabbur is not an act of worship. And in accordance with the commandment of Allah and His Messenger, did Allah order us in the Quran to do tadabbur? Yes. Allah says, "Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarak liyadabbaru ayati." Allah says, we reveal the book, this book, this blessed book, so that people can do tadabbur on its verses. contemplate on the verses of the Quran, as well as the signs of Allah in this universe. As Allah says, praising the people of intellect, as Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heaven and the earth, and also the exchanging of the night and day, there are many signs for those who have intellect. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ, those who remember Allah, قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, while standing, while sitting down, while lying on their sides. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and they contemplate and they reflect on the creation of Allah. So this is what Allah has praised for, and this is what Allah has ordered us. So again, if tadabbur is done in that particular way, in order to please Allah and in accordance with the sunnah and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then definitely tadabbur is an act of worship. It is an act of worship. But if you say, in loose term, tadabbur, that I'm spending some time to do tadabbur about my saint, my peer. Okay, I'm thinking about Abdul Qadir Jilani. Okay, in the darkness of the night, I'm trying to remember Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyiduna Hussein. I'm doing tadabbur, this contemplation. Okay, so that they can help me. They can help me in drawing myself closer to Allah. Is that tadabbur permissible? It is an act of worship? No, it is not an act of worship. It is not an act of worship. Okay? So anything you say, anything you do, any feeling you hold within your heart, just put on in this definition, and it fits the definition, then it is an act of worship. Otherwise, it is not an act of worship. So let's go into a bit of depth of this definition. So we said it has to be first and foremost. So you can say there are two main conditions. There are two main conditions for any saying, for any action, any feeling to be classed as worship. There are two main conditions. The first one and the most important one, that there must be ikhlas. Ikhlas. Ikhlas is what? Sincerity. Solely, purely, only for the sake of Allah. Only for the sake of Allah. Nothing else. When we say for the sake of Allah, means what? In order to please Allah. In order to please Allah. And in order to fulfill the purpose of our creation. In order to fulfill the purpose of our creation. In order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in order to protect ourselves from the punishment of Allah. All of this is included within the sake of Allah. Pay attention to that. When we say you do something for the sake of Allah, it includes, first and foremost, fulfilling the purpose of your creation. Why Allah created you? Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I never created jinkind and mankind except that they worship me alone. So when we worship Allah, we fulfill that purpose. Okay? And secondly, in order to please Allah. In order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. And thirdly, in order to protect ourselves from the punishment of Allah. And all of that is mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna arsalnaka bilhaqqi bashiran wa nadhira. Ya ayyuhan nabi, Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. Allah says about the previous prophets, Kana an-nasu ummatan wahida, Faba'atha Allahu an-nabiyyina mubashirina wa mundhirin. وَرُسُلًا قَدْ قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَرُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ. I said, we sent to all the messengers, and all those messengers, they came to give glad tidings to people as well as to warn people. Give them glad tidings of what? the ni'mah of Allah, the rahmah of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. Give them the glad tidings of the pleasure of Allah. And warn them against the punishment of Allah. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the final messenger as well. Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. So, when we say for the sake of Allah, it includes fulfilling the purpose of our creation in order to please, in order to earn Allah's pleasure, and in order to avoid Allah's punishment. Okay? So if that is your intention when you say something, or when you do something, or when you express your feeling, then you have fulfilled the first condition of the ibadah. Clear? Understood? Any question? Okay. You say something, or you do something, or you express your feeling about something in order to please Allah, in order to fulfill the purpose of your creation, in order to avoid the punishment of Allah. That is ikhlas. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Allah says, they were not ordered except that they worship Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, doing the worship of Allah with sincerity, purifying their worship to Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, doing the worship or worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, with ikhlas. Okay, so this is the first condition of the ibadah. Such as? Okay, the brother is asking a question that doing something for the sake of Allah is an act of worship, and not doing something, is that also act of worship? In reality, that is also doing something. What do you mean? So, for example, when, you know, your nafs, okay, whispers within yourself that you go and commit zina, you do, you know, sariqa, or you steal something, okay, but then you refrain from it. You refrain from it. Refraining, abstaining, staying away, is it not an act? It's an act. Is it an act that Allah has commanded? Yes. You are refraining. You're doing this action of refraining, avoiding, or staying away, okay? You're doing this act in order to what? To please Allah, okay? Just to elaborate on that, if you try to commit a sin, you tried your best, but eventually you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Would that be classed as an act of worship? No. Because you try your best. You are trying to steal. You made all the planning and everything, but when the time came, you couldn't do it. Or you are about to do it, but you saw that there is a camera there, or someone is watching you, so you gave it up, not for the sake of Allah. Not for the sake of Allah. This is not an act of worship. Okay? That is why that definition of worship is quite comprehensive. If you are to understand that, then you can think about any action, any statement, anything that you put it and, you know, judge it according to this definition, and then you can decide whether it is an act of worship or not. Oh, this is another question. The brother is asking the question, what if you gave up on a sin, or you didn't go ahead with the sin, and you stopped or you refrained from committing a sin, not for the sake of Allah, because of any other reason. Would you be still sinful for that? You understand the question? Okay. You tell me, what is the answer? Yeah, no. You didn't do it. This is the rahmah of Allah. This is the rahmah of Allah. Yeah, while planning to do something haram or doing something impermissible or commit a sin, on the way, what usually happens, you commit many other sins. And generally, in order to commit a major sin, you go through many steps of minor sins. And it never happens that you commit major sin out of blue and there is no, you didn't commit any minor sin. No, it never happens. Think about any major sin. It never happens. That is why avoiding the minor sins is as important as avoiding the major sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is why he said, إِيَّاكُمْ مُحَقِّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. Beware of the minor sins. Okay? Because the minor sins, if you're constantly committing minor sins, they are the ones that lead you towards the major sin. The Prophet ﷺ said, in order to explain that, he ﷺ said, the eyes commit zina, the ears commit zina, the hands commit zina, and then the final and the last, you know, the last or the outcome or the final stage of that sin is the actual zina. Does it ever happen that you go and commit zina before, you know, without having that kind of relationship with the opposite gender? Never. Impossible. Never happens. Okay? And if it is committed forcefully, then again, there are many other minor sins that have been committed before that. So that is why it is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the sin is not recorded in your record, in your register, until you commit it. But this is not the case with the good deed. As soon as you make an intention, one good deed is written for you. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, brother. Okay. Yeah, the brother is asking a question. You know, we gave an example of giving charity. It may not be considered an act of worship if your intention is not sincere. Whereas we know through charity, we benefit people. Okay, we benefit people, no doubt, and this is the core purpose of giving charity. Okay, but before you give the charity, you need to ask yourself, why do you want to give that charity? Benefiting the recipient or the people in need, that is not the core purpose. If that becomes the core purpose, then pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes secondary. Okay? Then this is not good. But if the core purpose is to please Allah, within that, you can have that intention as well. Your core purpose by giving charity is to please Allah. And why? Because Allah is the one who has ordered me to help my brother. I'm helping this my brother. Why? Because Allah is the one who has ordered me. But if I just help my brother just because of, you know, out of, you know, my feeling, because of my sympathy or mercy towards him, without the intention of pleasing Allah, then this will not be considered as an act of worship. So benefiting others, no doubt, it is part of charity, but pleasing Allah should not be missed there. This is one thing. Secondly, when you help someone through your wealth, through your money, through your charity, you should not be expecting anything in return. If you expect something in return, then again it defeats the core purpose, which is to please Allah. Okay? Because if you expect something in return, then it shows that you help someone in order to please not Allah, rather in order to please your own self. In order to please your own self. So for example, one of your poor relatives, he needs financial help. You help them, okay? And later on, you expect them to at least express their gratitude to you, okay? Then this expectation is not correct. That is why in one of the earliest revelations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as part of the first few verses of Surah Al-Muddathir, Allah says, وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ Do not do any favor to anyone in order to gain more. In another ayah, Allah says in Surah Al-Insan, in Juz 29, stating the characteristics of the righteous and pious people, Allah says, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا Allah says, they are the ones who feed people. They feed the captives, they feed the orphans and the poor and the needy. And then they say, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ We are feeding you in order to please Allah. And then they also say, لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا We do not intend anything in return from you, neither even a thank. Shaykh al-Islam Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in the tafsir of this ayah has beautifully said, anyone who helps anyone financially and he gives them something and they do not expect anything in return apart from thank, then such person is out of the category of righteous and pious people. Because the righteous and pious are those who give for the sake of Allah and they do not expect anything at all in return. Okay? Because they feel or they believe that they are doing so solely for the sake of Allah Dul Jalal Ikram. Okay, let's move on inshallah. So we said in the act of worship, worship contains two major conditions. The first one is what? Al-ikhlas, sincerity. It has to be done solely for the sake of Allah. And we explained the sake of Allah includes the fulfilling the purpose of creation, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and avoiding the punishment of Allah dhul jalal ikram. Secondly, it has to be in accordance with the commandment of Allah. As we said, as part of the definition of ibadah. It has to be in accordance with the commandment of Allah or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it obviously includes the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the approvals of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All, because these are the three main categories of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the sunnah of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam. The statements of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, or at least the approvals, something was done in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, or something was done during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam never objected to it, then it is considered as approval and it is part of the religion. Okay? So it has to be in accordance with the commandment of Allah or the teachings, the statements or the approvals of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we say that, when we go further into the depth, when we say it has to be in accordance with the commandment of Allah and the commandment or the actions or the approvals of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we further say, specifically with regards to the times of worship. Specifically with regards to the time of worship. It has to be in accordance with the commandment of Allah, the commandment of the Prophet, the actions of the Prophet and the approvals of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In terms of his time, in terms of his method and the way the worship is done, the way a statement is uttered, the way you perform an act of worship, It has to be in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everything that includes, for, let's take an example of the salah. Offering salah. Pray is an act of worship. We do so for the sake of Allah, with the intention of drawing ourselves closer to Allah. Sake of Allah means fulfilling our worship, fulfilling the purpose of our creation, and pleasing Allah, and avoiding the punishment of Allah, in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In terms of his time, meaning now, Isha time hasn't started. Can you pray Isha now? With sincere intention. You say, my intention is to please Allah. And I'm going to perform the salah from Allahu Akbar until Assalamu Alaikum exactly according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallam. Would that be accepted? Would that be an act of worship? No. Because the time hasn't come. Can you pray Fajr now? No. Time hasn't come. Okay? Likewise, when it comes to, for example, a number of rak'at. Can you reduce the number of rak'at? You say, I feel tired. The Prophet ﷺ was sent as a rahmah to mankind, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. The Prophet ﷺ would usually give concession. So I may take benefit from general rahmah of the Prophet ﷺ and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm feeling tired today. I work hard throughout the day. So I'm feeling tired. So I can't offer all four rak'at of Salatul Isha. Rather, I'm going to pray two only today. But I will do exactly those two, 100% according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the time of Isha. Would that be accepted? No. Okay? Because it is not 100% in accordance with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to its number. Likewise, for Salatul Fajr, can you pray more than two rak'at, three rak'at, four rak'at? No. In one rak'ah, can you do more than two sajdas? No. In one rak'ah, can you do, in Salatul Isha, we are going to offer now, bi'idhnillah, can you do more than one ruku in one rak'ah? No. So when it comes to the actual description of the act of worship, it has to be in accordance with the teaching and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of his time, his method of performing it, and as well as the number. So when it comes to his number, any act of worship, okay, wherever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has specified the number, we have to follow the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are acts of worship. There are acts of worship that the number of that act has not been specified by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ordered us not to read more than certain surahs in a day. Okay? You read as many surahs of the Quran as you want. You read as many ajza of the Quran as you want. The number has not been specified. Yes? But wherever the number has been specified, it has to be done exactly the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has specified. For example, it is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to read the last three surahs of the Quran, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, and Surah Al-Nas, before going to sleep. How many times? Three times. Okay, as Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha explained, that the Prophet ﷺ would place his both palms together, and then he would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, and then he would blow on his hand, and then he would wipe over his body. Wherever his hand would reach, he would wipe over his body. And then he would repeat, second time, and then third time. Number is specified here. So, if a person says, no, I think I need to do more. So before going to sleep, from tonight onwards, I will be doing seven times. There will be more reward. No. That specific time has to be, in that specific time, it has to be that specified number. Clear? So this is what we mean in accordance with the sunnah and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So just take that example. Any act of worship. Any act of worship. When it comes to fasting, for example, during the month of Ramadan, we observe the fasting of the month of Ramadan throughout the month, every single day, from the dawn break until sunset. Okay? You begin in that specific time, the time that has been specified by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in fact by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and the time that has been specified for breaking the fast, you have to break the fast. You can't prolong. You can't say that, let me wait for another 5 minutes so that I would be rewarded more. No. You won't be rewarded more if you delay. Rather, delaying it will be considered against the act of worship. That would not be an act of worship. Okay? And when it comes to beginning your fast, it has to start on that specific time. Okay? That is why in the books of fiqh, as the fuqaha have discussed based on the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are in some ways there is difference between obligatory fast and also voluntary fast. Now, just quickly, very quick example. When it comes to obligatory fast, you have to have the intention of starting your day with the fast before the Fajr time starts. If you didn't make that intention, then your obligatory fast would not be acceptable. But this is not the condition for voluntary fast. For voluntary fast, you can make the intention later, as long as you did not eat anything or you did not drink anything after dawn break, after the beginning of Salatul Fajr, of the time of Fajr. You know, you can make the intention of fasting for that day later on. For example, you woke up, you know, and when you woke up at Fajr time, the Fajr time has already started, you went to the masjid, you offer Salatul Fajr, and you feel so, you know, high in your iman, and you want to observe the fasting of that day, yeah, you can make the intention for that day. Rasulullah sallam used to do, because we have an evidence for that. So that is why when we say the acts of worship in accordance with the sunnah and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it includes the time, the description, the method, the number, and everything. It has to be done according to the teachings and the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay. Is that clear? Two main conditions. Two conditions of the worship, of the ibadah. Any question? No. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So, subhanAllah, we spend most of the time in defining the ibadah. And the second part is the types of ibadah. Various types of worship. Okay. Let's quickly mention one. We may not be able to complete it today, but inshallah we can continue next week, inshallah Aziz. So there are various types of worship. The most common one is what? The most common one? Salah. Zikr. What else? Dua. Okay, very close. Most common one is dua. Okay? Dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And dua is of two types. Dua is of two types. The first one is, you say the dua of worship. And the second one is the dua of request. Dua of worship, such as salah, the prayer. We have to make this dua. Within our salah, we make those, you know, a number of duas in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? That includes the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Glorifying Allah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one type of dua. The other type of dua is when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. You ask Allah Dul Jalal Ikram for something that is beneficial for you, or you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove any kind of harm and difficulty or problem from you. And obviously, the opposite of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considered as a shirk. If you make dua to other than Allah, it is an act of shirk. Okay? And there are various types of dua that are classed as an act of worship. That are classed as act of worship if you do so for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So that is something that inshallah we'll go through the detail of that bi-idhnillah next week. I think it is very close to the adhan time, and we conclude here inshallah al-aziz. So remember, the first type of worship is the dua, and we are going to discuss the detail of the dua, various types of dua inshallah next week, and also we'll go through other types of worship bi-idhnillah ta'ala next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to understand His religion, and may Allah increase us all in our knowledge. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'an wa amalan mutaqabbalan wa rizqan halalan tayyiba. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.